Cool.
Hi everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is the Natural Podcast. Welcome today. I'd like to introduce Rob Coombs, who's an acupuncturist and a qualified facilitator and teacher at the Institute of Quantum Consciousness and working with shadow work with people. So welcome, Rob. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It's so amazing to be in this space and this time on the planet.
Sure. Thanks, Madonna. It's lovely to be here. So my background is I started off in acupuncture, being drawn to Eastern philosophy and Eastern medicine after many years of martial arts. As you can see in the background, I've got the swords there, and spent many years in Japan training with the Grand Master over there, and you know, with a lot of sports and action activities, you know, prone to get injuries. So rather than going into the Western medical model, which I was very unhappy with at the time, I decided to explore the Eastern medicine modalities, and found myself healing remarkably well from acupuncture and the herbs. And that just opened my curiosity to energy medicine, the philosophies of yin and yang, the light and the dark, the masculine and the feminine, and how they all have these interdependent relationship with each other. It's like, you know, you can't have one without the other, and yet they can be in what perceived to be a ongoing conflict, but it's the ongoing conflict or relationship that they have that they hold the seeds in each other's growth and expansion. So dived into acupuncture for about 5 years, got my Bachelor of Health Science, and there was one proverb or rule or law in Chinese medicine that really stuck to me, and that was one of the first laws is, if you wish to treat the body, you have to treat the Shen. And the Shen in English terms is the spirit or consciousness. So that opened me up to things like universal consciousness, quantum consciousness, and started to explore consciousness and how we're, you know, on a quantum level, we're just energetic beings that are participating in the co-creation of our reality. And what can get in the way of that are our realizing that truth is the limiting beliefs, our trauma, our wounds, our conditioning, whether it be from what we've inherited genetically, or what we've been chosen to be born into culturally, or just the environment we've chosen into. And when I say the environment, taking into account the whole astrological relationships and interdependence that they share, you know, energetically with us. So, and that makes up our unconscious environment. So that's where shadow work comes into it. So exploring that part of ourselves that seems to be hidden in the shadows. So, and over the last few years of my training, my development and experience on my own healing path and facilitating other people's own healing, I've come to understand that where we're heading on a collective scale is we're transcending duality. So we're on this collective path of transcending duality, where there's there is light and there's darkness, there's and there's polarity of left and right along the political scale, and yet we're neither of them too. We can live our life through duality, but we're also beyond duality. And what I mean by that, that's coming to our essence on the soul level. The soul is neither light nor darkness, but it can take on the purpose and the soul agreement with all those who a soul chooses to incarnate in this world, to play a role in this infinite game that's being played out on a multidimensional level.
Yeah. So, and it feels like the last few years has been a direct assault against our souls on the planet. Yeah,
100%. Well, the way that I see what's been happening over the last few, well, 100 years, really, with the advent of the world wars, the great wars, and, you know, I believe that we are living in the third world war. It's just the weaponry is different. And however, but the war has always been waged on our consciousness to separate, yes, to separate us, to divide us from who we and what we truly are. You know, we're separated by ideology, we're separated by our ancestry or our genetics, and our color.
Yeah. And I was listening to a podcast the other day about eugenics.
Mm.
And apparently one of the first worldwide eugenics conferences was in the UK in 1910.
Yeah.
And they would talk, and basically the writings at the time were about the six different things we need to keep population down. And I can't remember what they all were, but it was very much keeping races angry at each other, keeping religion angry, you know, at other religions.
Yeah.
The whole making sure there's always somewhere on the planet that is starving so that there's less people being born in those areas, always keeping a war going on. It was really interesting listening to it and then hearing some of the quite prominent human beings who have been linked to those movements over the years.
Yeah.
We're 110 years into that, and I know that's been going on for a long time well.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely it's all been planned out. And those who are in control, you know, from my perspective, are in control of the imbalance on that social demographic level, you know, whether it be feminine or famine or financial, political, religious. It's all you need to do is create a boogeyman, you know, something that is seen or unseen, like what we have been seeing over the last couple of years, that serves as a wedge in our unification.
Yeah. And it feels like that agenda has been so well played.
Oh, they're masters at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, obviously we've had our statistics come out by the Australian Bureau like last week or the week before that sort of actually said how few people have died in this pandemic here in Australia by totally locking us down.
Yeah. Like I think I saw some stats that it was like 84 people.
83
people that solely died from the virus.
Yes, without three or more comorbidities.
Right.
And our average age of death, 86 for women and 81 for men, which is higher than our national average generally.
Yeah.
For the death rate in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure things are going on similarly in New Zealand. Are you feeling that with your family?
I haven't had much connection there with New Zealand. Most of my family that I have spoken to from over there have, you know, really been supportive of what Jacinta and what they've been putting in place, you know, and, you know, the people that have been protesting around the beehive there are just, you know, they get lumped into the conspiracy theorists. You know, judgment and ridicule. Yeah, you know, it's the power of the mainstream media.
So has what's been going on the last 2 years changed how you're working with your clients?
100%.
Like, has it changed the shadow work that you're doing?
Yeah. So this is the opportunity in what's unfolded for us, well, for me, in my work. So I was very dependent on acupuncture as, you know, with finances, and the shadow work and the consciousness work was very self-motivated, self-interest, and something that I'd like, you know, I had an ideal about merging it into my work. And, you know, we really hadn't explored doing this, Zoom sessions over, you know, great distances across the world to have sessions, you know, to guide people on an, through an expanded state of awareness to visit realms of consciousness that they've, you know, aren't aware of or have forgotten about, to tap into their multidimensional resources and their infinite creativity. So, you know, their and their sovereignty. So we started experimenting with that, and we were getting, well, we have been getting as good as face-to-face, as good results as face-to-face. And that was just blowing our minds. So we decided to start teaching it online. So we've done two teaching workshops online now, and the caliber of people who, you know, their vibration is already high, who've done the courses, have just been phenomenal. Like this last year was my first, I was invited to assist teaching universal consciousness and quantum consciousness with Pete Smith, my friend, my mentor, and the founder of this work. As long as we've got good internet, we're accomplishing, you know, our soul agreements with these other people that are coming forward. So in all essence, I feel that this was meant to be. So when the lockdowns did happen, instantaneously we lost like about 80% of clientele. You know, it just closed down, and you know, but that opened up time, energy, and also the opportunity to explore teachings online. So shadow work opened up. They took advantage of it. And so I dove into that, and I dove into more with the consciousness work. And now with we're building a tiny home to get out of the city and live in the country. All we need now is an internet connection, and I can continue offering this work that I feel most meaningful to me, that gets me into the flow of my purpose and, you know, contributing to the collective consciousness of humanity in ways that I feel like I couldn't do with acupuncture. Yeah. But even though I still have that skill and talent there with acupuncture, the years, you know, definitely it's a tool that I can't give up.
So, and it's that huge amount of knowledge underneath the acupuncture as well that has just added to your quantum consciousness and universal consciousness.
And it's all been, you know, looking back, it's all been steps, you know, throughout my my own healing, my own remembering of who and what I am and why I'm here, and now stepping into a role of a teacher, a leader, a mentor to help others, you know, do a similar take on the similar path that I've been on.
And are you seeing with your clients who you've been seeing like for 5, 6, 7 years, are you seeing the awakening in those human beings?
Absolutely. There's been so many conversations similar to what we talk about, where, you know, and it's I've had clients come to me and say, you're the only person I can open up and talk about this stuff with.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, because it's, you know, they're.
Well, for me, nothing's off limit. I don't care what people talk about. You know, it's one of those things. I think in around March 2020, I was challenged by someone who to go read something. I can't even remember what it was, but I remember having a client here at 9 o'clock one morning, and literally as she arrived, I'd just finished another hour and a half podcast I'd been listening to, and I don't know whether I said it out loud, but it must have felt like I said it out loud, how the hell did I get here? Like, and that was really early on in the piece, and already the world as I've known it my entire life wasn't the way that I've known it my entire life. Yeah. And I started, and I think I must have made a decision, or someone challenged me to do it, to just be open with information coming in, you know, and lots of information is going to come in from lots of different directions. And yeah. It's been massive. It's been massive because I've already been in natural therapies for 28 years, 30 years, you know. Uh-huh. And so it's been a huge awakening nonetheless, watching yeah. the shenanigans going on.
Uh-huh. And I think with our work, the energy work that we've been doing over the last few years, we you know, it exercises or we rely on our intuitive capabilities, our intuitive gift to, you know, discern, you know, what's true and what's false. And we, you know, by trusting that intuition, you know, it's like our guide. Well, for me, it's a bridge into our multidimensional resources, our guides, to send us a message or a hint of what could be false and what could be true. And for me,
could you chat a little bit about guides for those people who don't really potentially believe they have guides, or yeah. you know, could you chat a little sure. bit about that?
Sure. My perception or perspective of guides is fluid, and what I mean by that is that, so when we can expand our awareness beyond our current circumstance and the experience that we share on the human level and transcend time and space, we can have access to aspects of ourselves that either live in an alternate, a parallel, an interdimensional or eternal consciousness. And so these aspects of us can, because they are beyond time and space, present themselves to offer some guidance. You know, right. it's and I'll put it into another context. Like, if you remember Bill and Ted's playing the time game, and yep. So they would say they'll do something, like put a key behind a rock, but they have to remember to go in the time machine to go back in time to put the keys, steal the keys, and put the keys there. I remember. Yes. So it's kind of like a greater consciousness of ourselves working beyond time and space to come in, or have already agreed to come in to offer us that message.
Yes. And so is that separate to inherited or genetic or past life stuff? Is it separate or is it all intermingled?
Inherited and genetic is separate from past life stuff. But I'd even go even further, that past life is still within the human conscious or the human mind that sees or perceives life unfolding linearly.
Right.
So rather yeah. than calling, you know, when we speak past lives, we're seeing life as it has unfolded in the past to this point here. Well, if we expand our awareness beyond time, then we have available to us our past, our future, and our parallel. So they're all available for us to call forward, explore, to either receive or give healing, or receive and give wisdom and insights and okay. learning. Yeah.
And is it something that when people have a session, so it's their subconscious, their unconscious, that's coming up with the solutions? Their, you would call it more their knowing?
Yeah, we call it in quantum consciousness or universal consciousness, is we call it the remembering. So you're remembering your magnificence, knowing, remembering. And it just like the analogy of the onion, right? Sometimes there's, you know, we peel one layer back to get an understanding of, you know, what to heal and let go of limiting self-beliefs, or to heal wounds that are, you know, just part of the journey here on the human level. But what I have discovered with the consciousness work is when we heal one layer, that can serve as a portal to so much more. So it's like we can use the healing to open up an opportunity to explore more of who and what we truly are. Yeah.
And is that, I imagine, that's really emotional for some people.
Oh, yeah, because...
Because if people have a belief about who they are in time and space right now on the planet,
yeah,
and then it opens up these other potentials where they could have been now if things hadn't have shifted in the past, I imagine that could come as quite a shock and quite traumatic for some people. Yeah,
so that resonates with the realm of alternate consciousness. So with the realm of alternate consciousness, so if you remember the movie like Sliding Doors, you know, where Gwyneth Paltrow in one reality she got on the train and the other reality she didn't get on the train. And it's the whole what if question. So in the alternate reality, we can call upon the consciousness because we're quantumly entangled with this other aspect of ourselves on this alternate timeline to come forward and spend time with us to give us some healing or insight into the what if I went down that pathway and what's the wisdom that from the experience gained of going down that pathway, and offer that to me in this lifetime or this pathway. So that's one way we can work with the alternate realm of consciousness. And there's another way where, okay, I come to you like to a facilitator and asking like, I've got this big decision I have to make in my lifetime. So we can call upon, so this would be the, what would be the future question? There's the what if of the past, if I made the decision, you know, to get on the train or not to get on the train.
Yes.
And there's the decision of what if I'm, you know, choose to get on the train or not to get on the train. So we're looking into the future, we're looking into the past. So we can call upon that alternate self who is already, because we're expanded our awareness beyond time and space, we can call upon that future self who's gone down that other path, that other option to come forward to give us some guidance in what to do.
Which is, which is an amazing gift to people once they get their brains there, you know, to be able to. Is it sort of, it's in a similar vein as hypnosis or not quite?
It was born in hypnotherapy, but whereas hypnotherapy tends to focus only on the subconscious, what we carry within ourselves from our, you know, our circumstance of living in this, you know, in so far in this lifetime, you know, so most likely the traumas, the phobias, and limiting beliefs, the quantum consciousness and universal, we, rather than going down into the subconscious and facing those traumas, which can have the potential of re-experiencing those traumas. So we tend to offer the client to expand their awareness and have an out-of-body experience. And from that out-of-body experience, remember their pure resonant vibration, so their highest being, and look down, you know, objectively at the parts of themselves that are holding these wounds, which and traumas, which we reframe in universal consciousness as a request for resonance. So once you take you help a client expand their awareness from their human circumstance, you can start to, you help them to remember that they made the choice to come into this lifetime to have those experiences which help in their evolution, their growth.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then that starts changing their subconscious so that they can move forward without fear or anger or frustration.
Exactly. And that what they perceive to be a risk or something negative can be, you know, as we reframe it and help the client challenge or be open to a new way, a new perspective of looking at what's happened to them in their lifetime, it makes it easier for them to release whatever that energy or whatever that experience was and cultivate the gold or the wisdom from it.
Yeah. So they can move through life without that same fear of that trauma happening again.
And as they move through life without that fear, the wisdom that they have gained from their whole experience is shared with others.
Yeah, because, you know, like dark cannot, you know, the whole light and dark thing. We can't have the light in our souls if we haven't, you know, it's like all connected.
Yeah.
Where do you feel that, so I was sort of thinking like something you mentioned before, what have we chosen on this planet? You know, so do you believe we choose our parents, we choose our experiences so that we're getting the soul growth from?
100%. That's the free will of the soul.
Yes.
Yeah. So I believe that, on the soul level, we have chosen the time, the space, the dimension, the reality to incarnate and take on the forgetting, the veil of forgetfulness, only to, you know, I feel that it's our life purpose to go through the experiences to ultimately remember, cultivate the wisdom from those experiences and share it with, you know, this is how I believe this is how the universe continues to expand and grow, because we're, even though we're all unified and connected on the soul level, as it's continually growing, the universe is expressing itself through us and fulfilling those possibilities of manifestation.
Yeah. So once people have had, like, is it one session? Is it three sessions? Like, how does it sort of?
Yeah, and this is where the shadow work comes in, you know, as a powerful tool. It's like a filtration kind of system where it's like, are you ready for expanding your awareness and exploring these realms of consciousness and, you know, remembering your magnificence? Or is it you might need some a healing quest first, like a hero's journey of going into your shadow aspect to, you know, shine a light on those parts that you're afraid of looking at, but do it in a safe way where, you know, the client and myself will start to develop trust, safety, rapport, confidentiality, so we can have those conversations about, you know, just shining a little bit of light here and there, and from what they share from their experience, that offers an opportunity to challenge those beliefs, you know, self-limiting beliefs, in a loving way.
Because people need to know that they haven't done anything wrong.
Exactly.
You know, people feel like nincompoops, you know, when they realize that they've taken on beliefs that no longer serve them and were never true to begin with. So it's it needs to be that safe space, that safe environment that allow beautiful.
I find that when they do get to a level of readiness, most of their first healing experiences are, you know, inner child rescuing kind of healing stuff, like a, you know, from 5 years old, 7 years old, even younger. And the remembering there that I most see is remembering how to have fun, remembering to enjoy life, remembering how to be curious and be within the connection of all life and how it's unfolding. Because, you know, as we're young, we have no filters.
Yes.
Everything is just connection and experience.
Beautiful. So what I'd like to do is get you to tell people how to find you, but then I'd like to stop and start again, and I reckon the gloves come off and we chat about the whole COVID thing.
For sure.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah. Yeah, so
how do people find you?
People can find me at baysidefamilyacupuncture.com.au. Find me on Facebook, Robert Coombs. And, I've got, an Instagram as well, Robert Coombs.
Beautiful. Excellent. Let's have a chat about all things COVID. Aha, back in a moment.
Yeah, cool.